Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Fundamentally Mormon. I am your host, Mark Lichtenwalter, coming to you live on the second day of November 2018. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. Our program today will be for 30 to 45 minutes. We're in part 3 of the Holy Ghost before Pentecost, part 3, chapter 6 of Judas Iscariot by Ogden Kraut. You can find the book to read for free online at ogdenkraut.com. Click on Read Ogden's Books and scroll down to Judas Iscariot. Also, you can find the radio shows, part 1 and 2 of this, on Zion's Redemption Bookstore, which is where I post the radio show link, the video link, and the text to what we read each day. So I'm going to get right into it. Anybody who does want to call in, you can call in to listen to the program. If you do want to join the program, you need to press 1. And if I have time, I will bring you on the program. Other than that, you can just listen. The guest call-in number, once again, is 917-889-8827. Let's get into the reading. The Holy Ghost Before Pentecost, Part 3 of Chapter 6 of Judas Iscariot by Ogden Kraut. The Holy Ghost must attend the ministry. Did the apostles of Christ have the Holy Ghost to direct them in their ministry? The prophet Joseph Smith declared, "All are to preach the gospel by the power and influence of the Holy Ghost, and no man can preach the gospel without the Holy Ghost." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 112. The Holy Ghost is God's messenger to administer in all those priesthoods. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 323. Therefore, if the apostles of Christ had the priesthood, it follows that they had the Holy Ghost, because the two are inseparable. The Lord revealed in our own dispensation, quote, by the way, we're on page 60 of Judas Iscariot, just in case you're reading along, that the rights of the priesthood are inseparably connected with the powers of heaven. Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 36. The apostles labored in the ministry with Christ and received many spiritual gifts as promised, which always have attended the Holy Ghost. The prophet Joseph explained, quote, "We believe in the gift of the Holy Ghost being enjoyed now as much as it was in the apostles' days. We believe that it was necessary to make and organize the priesthood, that no man can be called to fill any office in the ministry without it." End quote. Teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 243. Until he, Cornelius, obeyed these ordinances and received the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, according to the order of God, he could not have healed the sick or commanded an evil spirit to come out of the man and obey him. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 199. I have a little bit of an issue with that, even though it's from Joseph Smith, because I know people that do not have priesthood who have healed the sick and doubt demons and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, women don't normally have the priesthood, at least not so far in this dispensation, but they can heal the sick and do all kinds of things without priesthood. But you've got to have the Holy Ghost, right? So, if you want to learn a little bit more about the priesthood of women or the matriarchal priesthood, I did publish a revelation I received given to my wife about matriarchal priesthood and how it should be restored as part of the restoration of all things. You can find that on my YouTube page. That's youtube.com/user/ God is my compass. And I posted that today, being the second day of November 2018. Continuing the reading, the disciples were led and influenced by the Holy Ghost through the working of miracles as Jesus promised. Healed the sick, that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Luke chapter 10, verse 9. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I think it's a little bit sad that that there are groups of Christians who believe that this applies to them. It applied to the apostles. And those people who handle snakes and willingly place themselves in jeopardy to prove their faith, doing it because they are God's children. And if they get bit, that is sad, because there was no need for it. Anyway, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. We're on page 61 of Judas Iscariot. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. Before the death of Christ, or the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, many of the 70s returned to Yeshua and testified that these things had been accomplished throughout their ministry. The 70 returned again, with joy, saying, Lord, or Adonai, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. So Jesus accepts the name Jesus, but his name is, well, Yehoshua or Yeshua. I actually believe it's Yeshua, but like when I saw him, he didn't tell me his name, but I knew exactly who he was. So anyway, it's like, I don't know. People get all bent up in arms about it. I feel good about Yeshua being the only begotten son, as that is his name, as it is spoken in the Hebrew Matthew, the Hebrew version of Matthew, and Yehovah, as it's been found in many, many documents with the vowel pointings in over a thousand. I know it's way more than that now, but since September 11th, Nehemiah Gordon has found Yehovah's name with the correct vowel pointings all over the place where it was once hidden. And, of course, the English transliteration of that is Jehovah, but there's no J's in the Hebrew alphabet. So, in fact, the J wasn't even invented when the King James Version was first published. And in the original King James Version, it's Jesus' name is I-E-S-U-S, Jesus, not Jesus. So anyway, but just some interesting facts. Anyway, okay, let's continue on. It is not only improbable, but impossible for the power of the priesthood and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, Ruach HaKodesh, to accompany the disciples before the Holy Ghost was given to them. Number 8, John the Baptist. Yochanan the Immerser, or Yochanan ben Zechariah, who the Gentiles called John the Baptist. Yeshua said, Jesus, that among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John, or Yochanan. Can a man be a prophet for God, or Jehovah, without having the Holy Ghost? The prophet Joseph Smith said, quote, the kingdom of God was with them before the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, as well as afterwards, and it was also with Yochanan, John, and he preached the same gospel in baptism, mikvah, that Jesus, or Yeshua, and the apostles preached after him. Teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 274. I think I hope that you'll be patient with me as I continue to use Hebrew words in place of of certain English words. I do it because I want people to know what the correct words are. And so, yeah, I read it in English and I also say it in Hebrew. So I think it's important to understand the names. And, the fact that, like, everybody's all like, well, John the Baptist, he was the first one to baptize. Actually, no, he wasn't. Adam was baptized by the Holy Spirit, which we can get into that later. But, mikvah ceremony was done by the Jews as a purification ritual, much like it is today. And Jesus, or Yeshua, went to Yochanan the Immerser, or Yochanan ben Zechariah, because he had authority given to him by Zechariah, the high priest, his father. Anyway, continuing on. Now then, to understand the nature of the kingdom of God and who it is with, the prophet also added, quote, whenever men can find out the will of God and find an administrator legally authorized from God, there is the kingdom of God. But where these are not, the kingdom of God is not. End quote, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 274. So Yochanan the Immerser had the priesthood of God, and the priesthood and the kingdom was with John, even though the church of that day, the Jewish high priest, what's his name, Caiaphas, like he was a high priest all he wants. He was an apostate. They had apostatized from the true law of Jehovah, and God gave the kingdom to some crazy man in the wilderness wearing a coat of camel's hair who just so happened to enjoy eating grasshoppers and other things, So, anyway, it's just like, all throughout history, God gives the kingdom to individuals who, and the authority to actually go and share a message with the people, even though they may not be the hierarchy of the church of that day. Take, for instance, Samuel the Lamanite and Abinadi, just to name a few. Continuing, Yeshua taught that except ye be born of water and of the Spirit, ye cannot enter the kingdom of Jehovah God. Did John baptize people and then they waited for 3 years to enter the kingdom of God because they had not yet been baptized or born of the Spirit? I got to say something. The reason why each of the feasts and festivals is only mentioned one time in the Gospels is because Yeshua's ministry was not 3 years. It was 70 months or 69 months or something like that. But people don't understand that for some reason, Eusebius in the ancient Catholic Church decided that it should be 3 years, and that's where that comes from. But the reason why Yeshua, he celebrated the Festival of Lights or Hanukkah when he said that he was the light of the world, one time. He celebrated it one time during his ministry. He celebrated the Passover twice, I believe. But the other feasts and festivals, he celebrated one time. Tabernacles, one time. And it's interesting that, like, if he had celebrated for 3 years, they would have mentioned a lot more than just the little bit that we know about him in the Gospels. Anyway, of course, you can take that for speculation. I'm just presenting it to you as something that maybe you could go and check out for yourself. There have been studies on this, and they're pretty convincing. So anyway, continuing. At the baptism, or the mikveh, of Yeshua, Yochanan bore witness of seeing the sign of the Holy Ghost. And Yochanan's manifestation was that Yeshua received the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh, and bore record that this was he who would baptize with fire and with the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Ghost. Yochanan's mission was limited to preaching and baptizing, but what he did was legal. And when Yeshua, who is Jesus Christ, came to any of John's disciples, he baptized them with fire and the Holy Ghost. End quote. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 336. This is proof that Yeshua conferred the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Ghost, upon believers while he lived in mortality. John's mother, Elizabeth, while pregnant with John, was filled with the Holy Ghost, Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And John's father, Zacharias, also was filled with the Holy Ghost, Luke chapter 1, verse 67. It is impossible to believe that John's father and mother were worthy to receive the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh, while their son, the greatest prophet, the promised Elijah, or Elias, which is an office, not just a name, holding the keys of the priesthood of Aaron, had to live and die without ever having the privilege of having the Holy Ghost. Yochanan testified that he would baptize them with water, and there cometh one mightier than I, who shall baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. He had to perform this ordinance by the laying on of hands as a correct sign that they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, on page 63. If they had to wait until Pentecost or Shavuot, then Yeshua never fulfilled his obligation, nor was John very accurate in his prophecy. It is essential that baptism, or mikvah, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, be together. The baptism of water without the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost attending it is of no use. They are necessarily and inseparably connected. An individual must be born of water and the Spirit in order to get into the kingdom of God. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 360. This is one of my favorite quotes. You might as well baptize a bag of sand as a man, if not done in view of the remission of sins and the getting of the Holy Ghost. Baptism by water is but half a baptism and is good for nothing without the other half, that is, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 314. And I gotta say something about that too. When you receive your baptism by someone who has been given authority of God, which is the priesthood, and they lay their hands on you and give you the Holy Ghost, that is a promise that if you stay faithful, that you will have the baptism of fire, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It does not necessarily come to you when you are baptized. Hold on. Well, my Facebook just decided to reset for no reason at all, so I'm gonna reset that for people who are watching. Audio. I gotta switch this microphone real quick. I don't usually have that problem with. I don't usually have that problem with Facebook on my laptop, and I didn't even touch it, so. Okay. All right, so we're going to, that's Facebook. All right, we're back on Facebook Live. The YouTube video seems to be going pretty well, but, so. It just got me sidetracked. Maybe I'll get back to it in a minute. Anyway, John and Jesus were both dead by the time of the day of Pentecost, or the day that Pentecost or Shavuot came, when the apostles spoke in tongues. That drives me nuts. They didn't speak in tongues. They spoke, and everybody heard them in their own language. That's not speaking in tongues. Of course, Maybe I'm just getting something wrong there. I could be wrong. Anyway, but welcome back, people on Facebook. Sorry, I don't know why it stopped doing its thing. But anyway, if they had been waiting for Jesus to fulfill the baptism, oh, I was speaking of the baptism of fire. Okay, so I was baptized in 1986. I was actually baptized under threat. My grandparents decided that they wanted my mom to get me baptized in the LDS church. My mom was completely inactive. They threatened her that they would take money out of the will or something like that. I can't remember. My grandpa told me about it years later. Anyway, but and I was baptized, and I was given the promise of receiving the Holy Ghost, right? I wasn't converted. When years later, while I was living with my aunt and uncle, I received the authority to bless the sacrament because they were LDS and whatever. So I'm up there and I'm reading the sacrament prayer, and the Holy Spirit came down on me like fire. And it actually kind of scared me. I had no idea what was going on. All I knew was like burning fire within me, and it kind of scared me. But like, that was the first time I received the baptism of fire. And I have received that in that amazing, like burning in fire in the bosom many times after that, right? Including like, well, I talk about it in other things, but like that came years and years and years after the fact that I had been baptized. So anyway, continuing on, Jesus to the fulfillment or to fulfill their baptism when they were disappointed, it is very likely that John would promise them baptism by water, baptism of fire, and the Holy Ghost by Jesus, and then they wait until 3 years later to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost from one of the apostles instead? Who laid hands on their heads for the gift of the Holy Ghost if it was not Jesus? And when? The scriptures inform us that even John was filled with the Holy Ghost. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 27. Number 9. Power and gift of the Holy Ghost before Pentecost or Shavuot. Others too received the Holy Ghost according to the scriptures. We can read of the day that the Holy Ghost fell upon Adam, Moses chapter 5, verse 9, and that Moses was filled with the Holy Ghost, Moses chapter 1, verse 24. King David also spoke by the Holy Ghost, Mark chapter 12, verse 36, we're on page 64. Nephi said that he spoke by the authority of the Holy Ghost, 1 Nephi chapter 10, verses 17 and 22, and this is in the Book of Mormon. And this is also in the Book of Mormon, which is another testament of Jesus Christ or Yeshua. Alma and Amulek were missionaries that went out filled with the Holy Ghost, Alma chapter 8, verse 30, and had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, Alma chapter 9, verse 21, and many others were born of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, Alma chapter 36, verse 24. And all the ancient prophets had the Holy Ghost, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men, or set apart men, or ruach men, actually, kadosh men. Ruach means breath or spirit. Kadosh means set apart. So anyway, the ruach kadosh literally means the set apart breath of God. Anyway, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. The most interesting incident occurred that indicated others received the Holy Ghost while Christ, or Mashiach, or Messiah, was alive. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Ghost, was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Ruach HaKodesh that he should not see death before he had seen Jehovah's Messiah. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. Hold on just a minute. Amberly, you're supposed to be watching your movie. I'll be down there in a little bit, okay? Love you. I have a 3-year-old. And I usually try to do these shows when she's at her preschool. But sometimes, well, things happen. So, all right. This also was before the day of Shavuot or Pentecost. Therefore, if these people had things revealed to them by the Ruach HaKodesh before the ministry of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, then it was evident that Mashiach could easily have and did bestow the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh during his ministry. 10. First and second comforters. In teaching the disciples, Yeshua said, "And I will pray the Father, Jehovah, and he shall give you another comforter." John chapter 14, verse 16. And that's John or Yochanan. He's got my favorite. So John was the one that received the revelation of Jesus Christ that we know as the book of Revelations. And John the Revelator, how cool is that name? Yochanan the Revelator, right? I know. Whatever, I like it. So anyway, if they were going to receive another comforter, it signifies that they had already received the first comforter. What was the first comforter? The prophet Joseph Smith said, quote, "The other comforter spoken of is a subject of great interest and perhaps understood by few of this generation. After a person has faith in Messiah, repents of his sins, and is baptized, or mikvah, for the remission of his sins, and receives the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Ghost, which is the first comforter, then let him continue to humble himself before Jehovah, or God, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and living by every word of Jehovah, and the Lord will soon say unto him, Son, thou shalt be exalted." End quote. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 150. The first comforter, then, is the Holy Ghost. So the apostles had already received the Holy Ghost while Messiah was with them. Since Yeshua promised them the second comforter, we may ask what the second comforter is. Joseph Smith explained, quote, "Now what is the other comforter? It is no more or less than Jehovah's son, Yeshua, himself," or Jesus Christ. I know, I'm confusing people with Jehovah and Jesus, right? Maybe I'll get into it. And this is the sum and substance of the whole matter, that when any man obtains this last comforter, he will have the personage of Yeshua, or Jesus, to attend him or appear unto him from time to time. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 150. A few days after Messiah was crucified, the promise of the second comforter was made manifest to the apostles. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him resurrected, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 17. This manifestation or revelation of the resurrected Messiah was before the day of Pentecost or Shavuot. No one will receive a manifestation all of the personage of Jesus Christ without the priesthood power and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, well, then why did Miriam, or what's her name? Mary of Magdalene, How is it that she saw him? Did she have priesthood power? She may have, because women have priesthood too. It's called the matriarchal priesthood. And she, being his wife, probably did receive authority from him. And you know what? You can check out a book called Jesus Was Married by Ogden Crowd if you want to go into the details of what the truth is on that. I won't get into it too much here today. These apostles received the second comforter before the day of Shavuot or Pentecost. If they were receiving the second comforter, then they had received the first comforter previous to that. Hence, the apostles had received both comforters before the day of Shavuot or Pentecost. Both reason and the scriptures bear witness and evidence that all the apostles of Messiah had received the Holy Ghost during their ministry on earth. Judas knew by the power, by the Holy Ghost, that Yeshua was the Christ, the promised Messiah. Oh, that drives me nuts. Greek means, Christ means smeared with oil. They didn't have a word for Messiah in Greek. So when they say that Judas knew by the power of the Holy Ghost that Christ was Messiah, it's redundant. Yeshua was HaMashiach. Jesus was the Messiah. Christ smeared with oil was not the Messiah. Drives me nuts. Anyway, continuing. Yet he betrayed him and caused his death. Therefore, Judas was guilty of sinning against the Holy Ghost. So we'll be in chapter 7 when we come back on Monday, I think it might be. I might do one tomorrow. I might do one on Sunday. I'm not sure. But the next chapter is sin and penalty of murder. And, by the way, we do finally have enough money to where I can start doing the... I can start doing maybe hour-long programs because I'm going to pay for the full service for the Blog Talk Radio, which I haven't been able to pay for before this point. Now, I'm not going to get into things the way I got into things when I did the Kingdom of God or Nothing radio program. I ran 2 to 3 hours 5 days a week. I can't do that anymore. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. When I do work, and they finally let us go back to work this week, I get up at 10 o'clock at night, and I'm into work by 11, and I drive till about 6 or 7 in the morning, and then I come home and I take care of my kids, get them all off to school, do all my things, and then I have 2 hours before I'll be able to go to bed again, you know. So that's my schedule. I just don't have the time or the energy to be doing 2 to 3 hour programs, but I would kind of like to keep each one of these radio programs, podcasts in, I want to do a chapter a day if I can. I'm actually reading the comments on the Facebook Live. And by the way, I'm sorry about that resetting of the Facebook. I don't know what happened. It just decided to reset for no reason at all. It was like, video has ended. I'm like, okay. And I've done 4-hour videos before on Facebook. So I know I can do 4-hour videos on Facebook. But apparently... the prince of the power of the air is not very happy with me raising my head up and advancing the kingdom of God on the earth. So anyway, but we're going to leave it at that. We don't have any guest call-in people. And if we have any questions or comments, yeah. I'm happy that I have more time to be able to do these things. Before my wife went to work, and she teaches school, elementary school, I was the only one supporting our family, and I would work long, hours. And so even though my schedule is crazy, 'cause like I have to be here for my kids during the day, and then I get to sleep whenever, like when my wife comes home, I sleep, and then I go out in the middle of the night and drive. I'm happy that I have the opportunity to do it in this way, because I like driving at night anyway, because I listen to a lot of stuff while I'm driving. There's not a lot of traffic, even though like last night it snowed up by the mine. I drive a semi truck up to the coal mines, and I didn't have to go up to the very top, but where I went to last night was still 7,500 feet, and it was snowing up there. But I'd rather do that than not work at all. I enjoy working. I've been a truck driver for over 20 years, and now I'm local. I'm home every day, obviously, but I like the fact that I have the time to try to put these videos and these radio shows out. Now, with the Kingdom of God or Nothing, I didn't do videos because a lot of times I was out somewhere, I was out on the road or something, and it was just a radio show podcast, which, by the way, you can find the Kingdom of God or Nothing on iTunes as a podcast or at blogtalkradio.com/ The Kingdom of God or Nothing. And and like one of the reasons I love driving a semi truck so much is because I have the opportunity to listen to things, and I have this thing called YouTube Premium, where I can like push a button on downloading videos onto my iPad or whatnot or my phone, and I've got a whole bunch of things that I listen to every day, which, by the way, you can see what I listen to every day on my playlists. I made a playlist yesterday, November 1st, 2018, which is stuff I listened to last night, and I'll make a playlist today for stuff that I'll listen to later. So anyway, but I'm going to leave it at that and take off. Thank you for watching and listening to this. And don't forget, I will post the text of this on Zion's Redemption Bookstore page on Facebook. And then things will be at blogtalkradio.com/ Fundamentally Mormon. And on YouTube, youtube.com/user/ God is my compass or Messiah ben Yosef, Joseph. Or search Mark Lichtenwalter. So thank you for watching. Take care, everyone. God bless, and goodbye.